just because it's high tech.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Y'all set to vote tomorrow? Chances are you'll be using an electronic voting machine. Since the Hanging Chad controversy of 2000, the federal government spent more than $3 billion installing a higher-tech balloting system. But it's not without its critics. Marketplace's Hillary Wickay reports.
Most voters will be using touchscreen machines or filling out ballots that are then fed through electronic scanners. But many are skeptical. Princeton researchers and voter advocates report they've been able to hack the machines. Lots of people ask, if we can have ATMs at banks that work fine, why can't we have foolproof voting machines? Charles Stewart at MIT says you get what you pay for.
An ATM costs 10 times more than a voting machine. So the voting machines have, in fact, been developed on the cheap, sold on the cheap. Not a whole lot has been put into their research and development.
Stewart says, to be fair, the problems of the 2000 election have largely been addressed. Ballots are easier to read and many fewer votes are lost. Meanwhile, advocacy groups across the country are mobilizing to monitor ballot casting and counting. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
Newspapers have lost a lot of ad revenue to the internet. Exhibit A, Google. But this week, Google's testing out a program to get some of its ad clients in 50 U.S. newspapers. Now, this isn't charity. Google doesn't have room on the web for all of its advertising. And if the program works, Google will start taking a commission. Cable companies pay billions of dollars for the right to air popular channels like ESPN. ESPN's owner Disney has been negotiating with the two biggest cable operators for 3 years now. We're hearing the two sides are finally close to an agreement. Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
The Los Angeles Times reports that Disney is closing in on deals with Comcast and Time Warner Cable. The paper reports that Comcast would also buy a stake in E!, the entertainment network. Even though more people are watching TV shows and videos online, Disney still gets billions of dollars in revenue from its licensing deals with pay television companies. But Todd Schenko with Jupiter Research says it's a two-way street for content providers like Disney.
The programming network needs the cable operator as much as the operator needs them because they also have access to selling advertising time. Without the carriage, they're out of luck. They don't get licensing fees, and they don't get the ad revenue.
Disney's reportedly trying to stretch out the licensing deals. That way, it can count on a steady stream of revenue, no matter how much TV people watch online. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
So much money in so little time. Bloomberg says Wall Street's top five brokerage firms are about to reward their employees with an unprecedented increase in bonuses, $36 billion for all those deals they've been doing this year. That's 30% more than last year's record. But the Dow's losing streak continues. Friday, the Dow lost 32 points, 0.3% to 11,986. It's back below 12,000 for the first time in a couple weeks. The Nasdaq fell 3 points. This is Marketplace. Today, U.S. trade officials launch an investigation into lemons. Not bad cars, the fruit. U.S. lemon farmers say they're getting squeezed. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
The citrus cooperative Sunkist Growers is the biggest producer of domestic lemon juice. But spokeswoman Claire Smith says its growers have seen a hit to their profits in recent years.
Well, the problem is that over the past 3 years, the U.S. market has just been flooded with lemon juice from Mexico and Argentina that's being sold below their cost of production.
This lemon juice is mainly used as a base for beverages, though it also shows up in products like cleaning solutions. The U.S. International Trade Commission says Sunkist's charges of dumping have merit and will spend the next 4 months investigating. Smith says this is the first time in 20 years Sunkist has invoked anti-dumping rules. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Urban Fellows, preparing people of all ethnic and racial backgrounds for leadership for more than 36 years at NUF.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
The world's largest car rental company will become a publicly traded company this month. Hertz plans to sell its shares for about $17 apiece. That should raise around $1.8 billion, one of the biggest IPOs of the year. And Newsweek's Alan Sloan says, let's not forget about Wall Street's take.
Last December, three private equity firms bought Hertz from Ford Motor Company. Now they're taking it public. Assuming this thing comes out at $17 a share, the investors will have made 340% on their money in 11 months, which is not a bad return before fees. Wall Street will have made, call it, $1.1 billion of fees for doing all of this. And my favorite part is there's going to be a new song they'll be singing on Wall Street when they cash their bonus checks. Do you know what it is?
No.
Love Hurts.
Boo. All right. Well, this happens every day on Wall Street, doesn't it? We have big deals where a company goes private or goes public. Wall Street makes a ton of money in fees. What's so special about this one?
The big deal here is how quickly it is and how much money it is, and that it's a household name. And finally, it's not as if the seller is some bunch of idiots. I mean, Ford Motor Company knows something about the auto business, knows something about the rental business. And when they sold this thing last December, the whole transaction valued Hertz at a little under $15 billion, and now it's being valued at $18 billion and change.
Well, what does Ford think about all this?
Well, they told me, and they gave the only rational answer, which is we put the thing up for bids. There were bids. We evaluated the bids. This is what it was worth. We got fair value when we sold it. Also, to some extent, the world has changed for the better for rental companies because the whole stock market's up since December, and airline travel is up, and airline travel is one of the big things that determines the business that car rental companies do.
Well, is there a reason that Hertz wants to go public?
The reason this company is going public is that the private equity firms see a chance to make money. I mean, that's all. This is not a mysterious thing. This is a question of, is there more money to be made taking Hertz public now and selling off the pieces over years, or do you wait? Believe me, if they couldn't take it public at a price they found happy, let's say they can only take it public at, say, $11 a share, they probably wouldn't do it.
Well, I guess we'll see if the shareholders love Hertz.
or maybe they'll be singing the other song, Hertz So Good.
Let's get off the air. Thanks, Alan.
A wise move. You're welcome, Scott.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
Nobody likes to get...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.